I guess overnight there was a story about Jarrell Worthy and us making a trade. I can't really confirm or add anything to that. Right now, I'd be glad to talk about anything else pertaining to the Green Bay Packers, but in that regard, because of agreements with other teams and things like that, we're not going to be discussing that. Okay, questions? Mr. Franklin, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Looking good.
Hey, Ted, when you bring in a free agent or a draft a player from a small school like a Saginaw Valley State, is there a little more uncertainty because that player didn't play in the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12 type of thing? Do you find that you have to dig a little deeper on a prospect like that?
Well, we've never shied away from it. I think history would tell you that. We're willing to take our chances. I do think you have to look into that a little bit closer. And the prevailing argument that I think holds water against that is that if you go to, say, Michigan State, you're going to play Big Ten competition for your entire career there. But the most difficult part of that and the thing that I think helps that person grow up to be an NFL player easier than a small school is the everyday competition to remain in the lineup. If you go to a smaller school, you might have good players around you, but if you're NFL caliber, you're better than everybody else. And you maybe the competition level and the day-to-day competing is different. So I would think that would be a valid argument, something that we look into.
Ted, yesterday Aaron was asked about this rookie class, and he said, I'm just going to read this to you if you don't mind. He said the maturity about them, the lack of entitlement that maybe we've seen in some other classes, do you sense that some rookies do come in here maybe more entitled than they should be?
Well, I think so. You know, a rookie, especially leading into that person's draft year or the draft time, and you know they're on the front cover of Sports Illustrated or get invited to New York and get hugged by the commissioner and all that. I think there can be some of that, but normally that goes away when you get around the veterans for any length of time.
Ted, do you like the way the preseason is, four games, the way it's structured? Is that good?
Well, it's been that way for me my entire career as in personnel. When I was a player, we had six preseason games, which is kind of not that much fun. But I think you certainly, you know, with four games and the work that we're able to do in the summertime and the spring, I like I've said before in here to questions like that, I think you're able to make valid decisions.
What if it was cut to two games? Would that impact you negatively?
We do something so that we could make up or at least be able to stand up here on the podium and with a straight face tell you we can make that decision properly. Yes.
When you look at a couple of your drafts, and if we're not going to fault players, are you hypercritical of yourself? I mean, when you look at drafts and a number of your guys don't pan out, how do you view that from your perspective and from kind of self-assessing the job you did in those drafts?
Well, that we go through that, you know, annually. Certainly, when you're gearing up for a new draft and then, you know, post-draft. Analysis. You look at that. You don't beat yourself up too much. This is not the personnel game and certainly drafting young men to go from college where they've been kind of spoon-fed into the NFL where you're not spoon-fed. It's not an exact science, and we understand that. We try to learn from what we think our mistakes are as we go along.
Are you getting enough out of that 2012 draft class, 6 defensive players in a row?
I don't know all the 2012 draft classes, but yeah, I mean, you can go back in history and look at draft classes from a lot of teams in 2000 and 2001, 2002, and go, you know, this was good, this was bad. If you get a couple of good ones, that's usually a good class. Ah, that one. Oh, okay,
yeah.
that rings a bell.
Yeah, and you traded up twice, once for Worthy, once for Hayward. I just wondered, when you're very philosophical about taking the best player available, when you do trade up, which is not usually your MO, you're doing it to go get a guy or to be in a position to get a couple of guys that you like. Is that, do you see that as risky? And if you miss on that guy that you traded up to get, is that a little bit tough to swallow?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's different. If you trade up, you know, you have to be a little bit more sure. In that case, it hasn't worked out great because of injury or whatever. But if you stay where you are, you move backwards. You maybe give up on some quality there, but you have more quantity, and. I think Ron said this, it was like, you know, baseball hitter, if you get, you know, 5 strikes, you're better off than getting 3 strikes.
And when it comes to building your team, though, I mean, we all focus on your draft picks and a lot of times where they're drafted. As long as you find a way, if you do miss, to make up for it, how much does it matter? You know, like Ron will always tell you that he didn't have as high a batting average in the first round, but man, when he picked in the third round, he nailed guys left and right. Mm-hmm. Second round has been that way for you. I mean, does it, once you get them here, do you truly say, I don't care where they were drafted, and if you find an undrafted guy that makes up for a guy that didn't work out as a second round pick, does that make it okay?
Well, I think you get far too much credit and far too much blame for the first round things. I think too much focus is on it, if that's the point you're making. And, yeah, the work that you do later on the draft, and we talked about this in pre-draft meetings, that's critically important. And on top of that, in terms of team building, we have put a bunch of work into and pride ourselves a little bit in the fact that we take college free agents and made them part of our team and contributors, and not just to stand on the sideline, but to actually contribute in games. So I think all of that's important, all of that's relevant, and but at the same time, you have drafted choices that it doesn't work out, and that's my responsibility.
Yeah, but I'll get specific. Can you give me an idea of what it's like for the meetings? You know, at this point, you're still 2 weeks away from the cut, but how fluid the discussions are of numbers at this position or individual players moving up or down as far as how you see them on this roster?
Well, we've had some informal conversations as I walk around the building and just poke my head into people's offices and things like that. But we've not had any quote-unquote meetings with everybody present where we hash out whatever it is we're thinking about right now. We're kind of letting it play itself out. We've only played one preseason game.
What would you like to see this Saturday in terms of performance by your players?
I'd like to see them run around, have some fun, enjoy playing the game. Don't forget that it's still a game. Do the best they can. It's, you know, the preseason in the NFL is a difficult time for our players and for all the players around the league because they do know that there are decisions being made and decisions that will affect their lives. So I try to, you know, when I go on the sideline, which I probably will do this week. I didn't last week because it was raining like cats and dogs, by the way. I like to watch the especially the young guys. I like to watch them and see how they're fitting in and see how they're doing, and make sure that they still understand that it's a game, and they generally do their best when they play like it's a game.
Ted, in terms of your drafting for defense, do you think that you have to be more cognizant of the scheme and what they're looking for in 3-4 players? You know, you look at the 2012 class that you're just talking about, and some of those guys don't fit specifically what the traditional 3-4 player are, including inside guy, Manning,
knowing those kinds of boxes. Do you have to be more specific, do you think, now? Is that anything that you've tried to do more so in the past couple of years? No, I suppose, Tom. I after that lead up into that question, I kind of wish I had you sitting with me in the draft room that day. But yeah, you stumble and fall from time to time. You do what you think is the right thing for the team, and sometimes it doesn't work out. In terms of scheme and things, sure. That's an ongoing thing. Unless you're able to see somebody play in a particular position, oftentimes they play in a different position in college. We have a number of players on our team that fit that mold that have done fine. You know.
Is that something unique in terms of the scheme that you run, that it's harder to find guys to fit that system than maybe?
I don't know. I doubt it. My guess is it's just hard to find really good defensive players that have all those skills. There's, you know, a couple of those positions we're talking about demand, you know, the ability to run into 340-pound guys and defeat them, and at the same time, you know, cover, you know, 4.5, 40 guys coming out of the backfield and things like that. That's not an easy combination of physical traits to find. So, but we try.
Mark,
you've spoken in the past. You've been pretty revealing about the importance of wanting the sidelines in the preseason, during the camps, seeing if a guy fits in.
Tell me more about the assets you're looking for. Do you think about yourself as your time as a player and guys that fit in to a team?
Yeah, I think you try to use all the experiences you've had in your life. I mean, this isn't just who the best football player is, I don't think. I think it's more than that, maybe a little bit deeper than that. Now, you have to be able to play the game, I get that, but it's a lot to do with the person and their makeup and you know how they respond to adversity and you know that sort of thing. And everybody's different. They're not all cookie cutter personalities. Our team, as you guys know, is completely different personalities. So it's the makeup of them. And I don't have any special gift in terms of being able to decide or make that decision. I just kind of like to watch them and see how they conduct themselves.
And you talked about experiences there. And we talked about your experience as a player maybe influencing how you work as a GM. You didn't have a chance to catch on anywhere else after the Oilers cut you that last year, right? Because it was after, like, it was right before the season started, or right?
Yes. It was like 2 or 3 days before the first game. I thought I'd already made the club, but I think technically I had, and I got messed around. But the Kansas City Chiefs had a nickel linebacker that got himself banged up on a Monday night game about 6 weeks into the season, and they called me, and I went up there for a tryout. And by the time we got done with the tryout, they told me the nickel linebacker that was hurt was going to be okay. And they put me back on an airplane and sent me back home. That was my last hurrah.
The reason I ask is because you said before, and it would seem that this works.
part of it that, you know, that once you feel that way, there's no sense in keeping the guy around as insurance or whatever, so maybe he does have a chance to go somewhere else and have success?
Yes. I think especially for players that have been on your team, because you grow attached to them and you want them to have some success, and hopefully those people that leave here will go have success somewhere else.
Just at the end of the draft and into the undrafted free agency, it seems like there are running backs available. You obviously signed a couple of guys who were drafted. Are you finding pretty good talent beyond that, because maybe some people just don't draft running backs as high as they used to? Are they sort of sliding down a little bit so that there are good backs available?
I don't know how to answer that, Tom. It would be speculation. One thing is, you know, as you go along in the draft, people will tend to take and draft players at positions that are hard to fill. Big people on either side of the ball are tremendously hard to fill. Once the draft's over with, there's just, good Lord, only made so many of them. I think physically, you can make an argument that the good Lord have made more running back type prototypes than they have offensive linemen. Maybe that's the reason, or maybe it's just the way it works out.
Can I sneak one more question?
See, you're breaking the rules. Yeah, who knows? You just don't know. Especially in free agency, it's shooting shotgun with pellets, you know, bird flu, trying to get as many as you can.
Thank you.